question regarding April 10th, AD 33. What were you doing? Well, I was going to say many of us were not born. None of us were born. We were born 2,000 years ago. But on AD 33, April 10th, Jesus was riding on a donkey to Jerusalem. It's amazing that we have the exact date, right? 2,000 years after. It happened that just that year, during that time, especially on that Sunday, people started looking for the perfect lamb to sacrifice in the temple. So as he was riding to Jerusalem, many of the Jews were very busy going to places to buy an unblemished lamb to take it to the temple in order for them to sacrifice it. And the priest, what he did, he took some of the blood from the sacrifice. He basically spilled it over the altar. This was very Old Testament. And then they took some of the lamb. Some of it was barbecued. Some of it was boiled. And the priest took a portion of the lamb. But this is how forgiveness of sins were done. And it was very Old Testament stuff. But many did not realize, as they were looking for this perfect, unblemished lamb, there was the perfect Lamb of God sitting on a colt of a donkey riding to Jerusalem. See, a lot of the times in life, we are trying to find answers to life's deepest questions. And the answer is closer than our own breath. We just have to look. Take the time to look. And in order for us to be able to do that, we have to detach ourselves from us. A lot of the time, we're just so wrapped in our own worlds and with our own problems and worries, we have to really step away from ourselves in order to see reality as it should be seen through the eyes of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Guess who recognized him? A few months or a few years before this. It was his cousin. While he was baptizing in the Jordan River, Jesus walks and he stops what he is doing. He stops baptisms. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world is here." Now, I don't know, a lot of people back then, just as they were walking around, as they were doing their life, and they did not understand that he was the perfect Lamb of God. And a lot of the times when we talk about miracles today where these things are happening, Jesus is coming back again, the resurrection is real. Yes, 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 but I've got tomorrow to deal with. But I've got this to deal with. And I've got that to deal with. And those things just overtake life in itself. And we shift away from the reality that God wants us to be in. And here, Jesus rides on a donkey, and then the Holy Week starts, which we celebrated last week. Some people gave up fish, some people gave up this. It's just why I say, you know, Jesus did not give up fish, Jesus did not give up anything. If you want to give up anything, give away doubt. And trust Christ, because he is still the answer for the world today. He went and on Thursday night, he celebrated the Jewish Passover. I mean, this was all orchestrated by God. Clearly, from point one to point Z, it was all orchestrated on a special day. While they were celebrating the Passover meal, the Passover that, you know, the Jews celebrated, Jesus celebrated but gave a whole new meaning to it. Disciples had no clue. If I was one of the disciples, I would say, "Man, that's a cool thing. What does it mean?" You know, you take the bread and say, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I can see you tomorrow. I can see you next day. Well, I'm not going to remember you. And then he takes the cup and he blesses it and says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Whenever you drink from it, remember me." I mean, look, if I was one of the disciples, I would say, sure. They did not really believe deep down that Jesus was going to die. And die on a cross, a criminal's death the next day. But the cross did happen. The animal that was slain at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the temple. That time they started sacrificing animals. It's fascinating, the words that Jesus uttered at 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon. He said, "It is finished." The perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed on the cross once and for all. sacrifices will not be repeated again. The Jews were so busy doing religion. Jesus would die on the cross, and his last words at 3 p.m., "It is finished. It is finished." At that very moment, we are told by historians as well as by the Gospels that there was an utter earthquake in Jerusalem. And the temple was just shaking. And that curtain, boy, that curtain that consisted of 60 feet long and 30 feet wide and 4 to 5 thick inches, it was a thick, curtain. You could not take a knife and just put through it. That curtain that separated the temple from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was the place where no one could enter except one special priest once a year to offer incense and prayers on behalf of all the priests and all. He was there. Zechariah was there. Remember John the Baptist? That's where he was, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. And he said to Zechariah, "You're going to have a son." "Sure, I'm going to have a son." "Shut up," he said. And he shut up for a year, 9 months. And before he opened his mouth, he doubted. I mean, wouldn't you doubt God if he tells you that he's going to move the mountain in front of your house? You say, "Sure." And you're 90 years old, and he will say, "You're going to have a baby." "Sure." That's what Sarah did, right? And guess what she named her son? Laughter. Isaac. That's what it means, laughter. She laughed at God. She's like, "Me? I'm so old. I'm going to have a baby." God does the impossible for his glory. This curtain that separated God, the most holy of holies, from the people, it was torn into two. At that very moment that Jesus said, "It is finished." Isn't that interesting? So that people now have access directly to God. No more animal sacrifice, no more priests, no more things. There is no more mediator between God and man except Jesus Christ. You want to go and confess your sins to God? Go to Jesus. Don't waste your time with priests or pastors. I'm not saying you cannot share your, burdens with your, or you could confess to a brother or a sister in Christ your sin. You go directly to God because you have direct access to God. Why? Because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he made this possible for me and for you. So there's direct access to God. We have confidence, the Bible says, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. Doesn't it make all sense? Doesn't it all come together with the dates and the time? It makes perfect sense. So when I see an impossible coming be possible, I'm not surprised. I get a kick out of it. I have to say, he did it again. He did it again. He did it again. And he will continue doing things again. What fascinates me, and I find a very hard thing to just understand, mentally speaking, I just have a, the triumphal entry to Jerusalem was prophesied by Zechariah 500 years before it took place. The betrayal of Jesus, by 30 silver coins, it was prophesied again by Zechariah in chapter 11, verse 12. And that those silver coins were going to be used to buy the potter's field. The beating up, the beating that Jesus is going to take, Isaiah prophesied it 700 years before even Jesus was born. The crucified, that he's going to be crucified and die a criminal's death. It was again prophesied by Isaiah. The piercing of his hands, for goodness sake, 500 years ago. And David, in his Psalms, writes about this. No bones were broken. Did you know that all the criminals who died on the cross, their bones were crushed? Because they would not die after 3 days. They would take a hammer and just crush their bones so that they just stop breathing. Jesus, not a single bone was crushed. Psalm 34:20, buried with the rich. He went and, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a very wealthy man. He was going by, and then he is the one who took Jesus and asked Pilate if he could bury Jesus in his own tomb. Isn't that fascinating? God will work things out, whether you like it or not. His plan for us will never shift. He will accomplish it to the dot. Do you see my hair? You don't see it. He knows every single one of them where it went. So stop worrying. I was worried this morning. I shook myself. It just went away. We all worry. Remember the resurrection. Jesus is alive. Worries are part of life. part of life. Miracles are very much part of life. But you have to claim it and give God the glory. Now, this is what I put last night. The resurrection of Christ validates, absolutely validates my faith in him. Without his resurrection, the Christian faith will just be like any other religion in the world. Do good, be good, stay good, and hope that you go to heaven one day. My worth in this life and the life to come stands firm in who I am today in Jesus. I'm a child of God through adoption. Loved, forgiven, transformed, empowered, victorious, given the power to do all things for his glory through him who gives me the strength. Now you want me to settle for less? I wouldn't. I wouldn't settle for any other religion. I would respect them. But no one will be able to accomplish what Jesus did and accomplished for me. Do you see the power of Christ? Now, if I did not believe in the resurrection, now some people say, well, you were not there, you did not see. I was not there when I was born, but I do believe it happened, because I would not be here. I do believe that the miracle of conception took place, and I've got no clue how my eyelids, my hair, I had hair when I was born, my fingers, nails, is that a miracle? Go and explain that. Do you know what, let me just find the right theological word here. I'm in the pulpit. You know what really annoys me? What really grieves me? That we waste so much time thinking of how to kill humanely criminals in jails than children before they're born. Isn't that fascinating? That grieves me. Doesn't make me angry anymore. It grieves me. And we don't ask questions. And then we say, well, where is God? Why haven't we found answers to cancers and all that? I say, well, you fools, you killed each kid. You know, I was supposed to find a cure to cancer. We've killed over 50 million kids since the 70s. Don't you think one of them would have found it? But then we are so worried about human rights. What about the rights of and voices of those who cannot hear and who cannot speak? What about the voices of all these Christians who are being slaughtered? And then we are overly worried about, I don't know, dogs going astray and not finding a loving home. I'm not saying that they should not find a loving home, but our priorities are just so... Yes. Now the resurrection changes everything for me. See, we all have fears because we live in this world. If somebody says, I have no fear, I say to them, you're a liar. We all have worries, because if you have no worries, you're a liar, or you're just like, you know, the marbles are just gone. We are people who worry. We are people who just always want solutions. Don't you have life plans in your life? Don't you have like certain things you want to do in life, and you want it to end up just the way you planned it? It will never happen. Because you know why? It will be the most terrible thing that you will going to go through. Don't plan your life. Do some plans. Don't plan it fully. Say, Lord, may your will be done. Always today and tomorrow. Do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? Well, most probably some breakfast in the morning. I mean, you know, you have a general idea. You don't have a specific idea. And boy, at a blink of an eye, it could change. But Jesus and his resurrection will never change. It's a fact of history. So I don't know where you stand today on this Easter Sunday. But I do know that we all have a journey that we're going through in this life. And each and every journey is very similar, yet very different. And we all want justice in life, right? We all want happiness. I believe true happiness can be found in Christ. Is that a crazy statement to make? I think it is crazy. It should be crazy. Because it's utter foolishness for the world that we live in. They will say, you found your happiness in Jesus? That stuff that you still believe in? Oh yes, I do still believe in that. You know, this is where the world is. I've not told this to my wife, but she'll get a shock. I was being interviewed by, they had a Kellogg's thing. They were, you know, not interviewing, but they were taking a census. You know, like if you like too much sugar, little sugar, whatever. And you know, and one of the things is, you know, how many children you have, you just put it on the... And then the interviewer says, you know, you like Kellogg's. I said, yeah, but it's too sugary. She says, all right, how old are you? 21. said, how old are you married? I said, almost 23. Wow, that long? I'm like, I don't know what to do with that now. That long? What does that mean? Seriously, that long? I thought that was like, you get 60, you get a letter from the Queen of England. Well, if you lived in Britain. I'm saying, I want that letter. Then I just said, their perspective of life is very different than the one that I am in. Because their image of marriage is not the same image of marriage that Christ has for his church. And therefore, I have options in life in everything. Either go with what the world is doing or stay focused and in Christ. Because ultimately, the world is not going to judge me. God is going to judge me. And the beauty of Christ is this. You know, he did two amazing things on the cross. He forgave my sins. That on Good Friday, when he said it is finished, he forgave my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. Now, the ones that I've not committed yet, and I will, most probably, because I'm a human being trapped in the body, where scripture says, you know, Paul says, you know, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He forgave all my sins. That I myself, nor the church, nor the religion will be able to. On the cross, he took my sins. He became sin for me. So one day, when I'm in the presence of God to be judged, then each and every one of us will be judged. You know what God is going to say? With I have full assurance of this. I don't even doubt it. He's going to say, well done. You're a child of the Most High God through my Son, Jesus. I only see righteousness, my Son's righteousness on you. Do you see what we're doing here? We're not playing games. This is not about, you know, coming to church and singing Kumbaya every Sunday. We don't sing Kumbaya, but whatever we sing every Sunday. This is far greater than this. We want to pass this to the next generation, and we want the next generation to pass it on to the next generation. We are that link of that resurrection. You break it, they're going to be lost.
Yes. Yes.
Do you see the importance of it?
Yes.
Do your best, and God will do the rest. If Jesus, I always say, and I don't take this offensively, if Jesus rose from his bed on a Sunday morning that was in the tomb, there's no reason why every Sunday we should not rise from our bed and come and worship him. Is that crazy? That's biblical. Now, and if Christ be not risen, then my preaching and all the preaching is in vain. See, it was against odds that, you know, some, have you ever seen a dead man rising? Well, then it's not just Robert. There's Lazarus, there's the widow's son, there's so many out there. But we just kind of shut that part of our brain off. We justify it. Miracles are not supposed to be justified. It's a miracle that I'm here and preaching to you because God gave me the strength to do it. It's a miracle that you're sitting here and we're all breathing because God wants us. Life is full of miracles. Full of miracles. You know, it's a miracle we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Where so many people go hungry in the world every day. Did you know that children die every whatever, the 3 seconds or 6 seconds? I mean, they came up with all these theories because they don't have food in the world. We are living a great miracle today in this country. Never take it for granted. I want to end it with this. You know, as we go through life, life will bring ups and downs. But somehow, what I find, all the downs of life are tests of faith. We're being tested every day. The problem is, with God, he always gives us the test and gives us the lessons. Sometimes you're going to fail, and it's okay. You know, the religion will say, you know, I grew up with a lot of religion when I was a kid. If you do wrong, God will punish you. You know that fear? Well, kids, God never punishes us. We punish ourselves. You see? But I want you to go out with this. God loves you so much that he wants your best. The best of the best that could be found. That's why he went on the cross and he died and was resurrected. And one of the great things that has happened through the resurrection is anyone who chooses to believe in him, this is not automatic. This is not just, oh, I was born a Christian. Really? I was born, you're not born anything, you're just born. You choose your faith. Now, parents play a huge role to cultivate that faith up to a certain point, but then you're on your own. Train a child in the way they should go, and when they grow up, they will not depart from it. I've been attacked for this verse so many times by people. They say, well, it just never works. I say, if it never works, then God is lying. And you know that God doesn't lie. We try to justify that, right? If you don't believe me, look at the life of Franklin Graham. It was the biggest rebel. Not that we should be rebels first, then come back to faith. No, 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 no. But look at this man of God today. But then go and study his history. He was not always a nice boy. He rebelled against his father's ministry and so on. But he came back because he was trained by his mom and dad the way they he should go in life. As you move on, I pray for myself and you that make Jesus your focus after this Sunday. Maybe you have, but make him more. And you will experience things that you've never experienced before. He will satisfy the core issues of your life that you cannot. And I know you've got core issues. Don't hide it. I do. I hide it. No. But you know, I'm not saying go and talk about it with everybody, but your core issues, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus, not in a, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer 10 times now because to hear me. No, no, just talk to him. Because he is alive. Remember, he rose from the dead. Talk to him. Give your worries to him. Give your challenges to him. You will not find solutions for every problem of your life. Because every problem has the power to rob the joy of the day. But this is a day that the Lord has made. And we are called in all the ups and downs to rejoice in it. Because Jesus is alive. And death has no more sting or victory. Because he went through it. Because he lives, we too shall live. And it should be our task to take this great, wonderful message, the good news of the gospel, out to all who are out there. Whether they believe it or not, it's up to them. But one day, when they come in the presence of God to be judged, God is going to say, I've never heard this gospel. They're going to say, well, I've never heard it. They will say, you know, Pastor Bears reminded you. Does that, well, you know, I was going through a rough time. Yeah, but you heard it. Or George told you, my son, my servant George told you. And they will be without excuse. Our job is to love and tell. It's others to accept or reject. I was 14 years old when somebody challenged me from Sweden. They were so tall, blue eyes and blonde hair. I was like, wow, how's the weather up there? They said, do you believe in Jesus? And I said, how dare you ask me? Of course I do. You know my background? I went through all my history and background. I realized I really did not know Jesus. I just knew the cultural Jesus. I really knew about that ethnic Jesus. But I really did not know him. But that is just so true in so many cultures. Jesus has become a nationalistic entity. We need a relational entity with him. When you have that relationship with him, your life will utterly change. That's why Jesus